And with this update on the Klamath situation, I'm talking now to Representative Mike Thompson of St. Helena in California. He spoke on the House floor about the administration's, well, for lack of a better word, their complete failure, Mike Thompson, to recognize the gravity of what we're talking about here.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your interest in this issue. It's one that's been ignored for far too long. The administration has been absolutely stonewalling. That's the Bush administration has been absolutely stonewalling the thousands of families who were on the brink of losing their businesses, and in some instances their homes and their livelihood.
I mean, in short, it seems almost like a microcosmic representation of what happened with Katrina. There was something that we saw coming down the pike for a couple of years here because the salmon population has been impacted for several years. We've seen the issues with the farms fighting for water, with the other needs for water. It's not as though this could be entirely unanticipated, much as Katrina was anticipated, and much the same, the response is bewildering. Can you talk about how the other side of the question has been justifying holding back this aid?
Well, it's even worse than you portray. Not only did they know it was going to happen, they caused it to happen. If you go back to the 2002 Bush administration water plan for the Klamath Basin, you recall that a number of us fought that strenuously. We said that if they put that in place, it was going to ruin the salmon fishery in and around the Klamath Basin. And sure enough, they put it in place. We sued. I was amongst the group that sued. We've won three times now in court. But the problem was that first year of that plan was so disastrous that it brought about the death of 80,000 spawning salmon. And what you're seeing right now this year, the number of Klamath River fish has fallen to a point so low, it's caused this problem. The fish, the Klamath River fish of today, are the graduating class of the Klamath River salmon of the first year of the Bush water plan. They killed so many of those spawners. They allowed the low water levels and the temperature of the water allowed very vicious parasites to establish in the Klamath River, and we've been suffering ever since. This year, the number fell so low, what they should have done is close the season altogether. But instead, they left it at open in small parts of the state for limited periods of time.
Do you believe that that was done deliberately to sidestep the issue of aid?
No question about it. Not only was it a limited season in that regard, but they also limited the number of fish that could be caught to 75 fish per week. So they made it impossible for people to fish. That the times that the season is open along the corresponding piece of oceanfront, in many instances, it's times when the fish aren't there.
Give me a comparison here. When you say that it was limited to 75 fish a week, how would that compare with a normal healthy season?
Oh, what it does is it doesn't compare at all, because in a normal healthy season, when you can go out and catch all the fish that you can catch, it gives you enough to make your boat payment and pay for your gas. 75 fish a week doesn't pay for the gas to go out and get them, let alone the licenses, the permits, the boat upkeep, et cetera. What NOAA Fisheries says is, well, maybe they'll get a lot more per pound for their fish, and that will equal out. And they'd have to get about $100 a pound for salmon in order for this to equal out. And as you and I both know, that's not going to happen. But they're hiding behind this, saying that they can't declare a disaster until they get all of their fish reports in, which won't come until the end of the season. And it'll be sometime in February 2007 before they'll even look at this.
And you don't have to be a fisherman to understand that a small business does not hang on that long with no income.
No, you're out of business. I already have people who are calling me. They can't make their boat payments. They can't make their home payments. They can't afford to take their boat out. They're causing an absolute small business disaster. And it's not just fishers. I got a call from a fellow yesterday who has a company that buys fish from commercial fishers and then sells it to retail stores, and he's lost $80,000 so far this year. Mm-hmm. And $80,000, you know, is a lot of money. There's a lodge up in the northern part of my district, up on the Klamath River, and what they do is they're open during the fishing season, and they have rooms and they have a restaurant. People come up and stay. They were completely booked for the beginning of the season. When the season was closed, they got so many cancellations that they've lost $21,000 so far.
So now,
some bureaucrat over in NOAA Fisheries or the Secretary of Commerce, $21,000 may not be a lot of money, but for these guys, it's everything, because this is the amount of money that they carry over after the season ends and they close their business down. And while they're staying up there, repainting, doing the repairs, cleaning the kitchen, that's the money that they live on. So they're basically out of business.
I'm talking to Representative Mike Thompson, Democrat of St. Helena, about this disaster with the Klamath River salmon season. Now, the original demand was for $81 million in aid. How much of a dent would that have put in the losses? I mean, it sounds to me with the figures you're tossing around that it actually could be considerably worse than that, let alone this little bit that it came through.
Yeah, those are the best numbers that we have, and we have derived at that amount based on our work with the fishing community and the state of California, the state of Oregon. That's what they're projecting that the loss will be. But again, we don't know exactly what it's going to be, but that's a pretty close number.
But we know one thing we know about numbers is that salmon is not going to reach $100 a pound anytime soon, and this is not something that's going to go away. This is a problem that's long term.
Absolutely.
Talk to me about what happened on the floor during the debate. I've yet to hear from any source what the rationale was for turning this demand down.
Well, the rationale was it started over in the Senate when they tried to get emergency funding for this. They were told that because the Secretary of Commerce has not declared it an emergency, they were not eligible for emergency funding.
Hmm.
So, and that's a problem, because to go in and get just regular funding that's not been budgeted for in either the president's budget or the budget that was passed by Congress, so there's no money available. What we did on the floor, and you've probably heard about the little civil disobedience exercise where we held up the House proceedings.
I'd like to hear that from you, actually. Why don't you retell that story?
Pardon me?
No, go ahead and tell that story. I'd like to hear it from you.
Well, what we decided that we needed to get some sort of place marker in the bill. So if and when the emergency declaration comes, we'll have a place to insert the funding so it can be distributed to these different communities. And what we started out with was a bill for the whole, an amendment for the whole $81 million, and we were told that we wouldn't. Actually, we started out with a bill to move a couple of million dollars around in the Commerce budget. That way, we would create the opening so we could put the money in later. Mm-hmm. They told us that they weren't going to support that. So then we decided we'd just go after the whole $81 million. And then the Republican Congress said that they would not allow that amendment to be made in order. They would, through a procedural vote, they would bump that out. So that's when we decided that we were going to hold up. We were going to request roll call votes on every vote that they asked for. Every third vote, we were going to make a motion to adjourn Congress, and we would just keep that up for as long as it took. If that meant we were here throughout the 4th of July break, so be it. If it meant we were here all night, so be it. This was an emergency that needed to be dealt with. And after a couple of hours of this, I think they realized we were serious. We sat down on the floor and we made the procedural requests, different votes. I think someone found out that I brought my jammies and was planning to stay as long as I possibly had to.
Good for
and,
you.
They acquiesced and they allowed us to do the amendment that moved a couple of million dollars around, thereby creating this placeholder that could be funded at a later date. After we passed that amendment, a group of us went over and met with our senator, Senator Dianne Feinstein, and got a commitment from her. She was going to put $5 million in on the Senate side, and she was going to work with the other senators in the affected two states and try and work with Commerce Secretary Gutierrez. She called him, tried to do a conference call with all of us, He was not available to take her call. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did this morning. We went over to the Commerce Committee where he was testifying, and we were able to get an audience with him.
A couple more questions for you. The first of which, if we can back up a little bit, I understand now the procedural argument against putting this money out where it's so badly needed. Do you see an underlying political reason or ideological reason that we could have an entire industry and all its communities affected so badly to the point of shutdown, and yet this money would be denied?
Absolutely. If you recall, when we just talked about the 2002 Bush administration water plan, mm-hmm. That caused all this problem, I'm of the very strong belief that the Republican perspective on this is if they acknowledge there's a disaster and they are helpful in ameliorating the fallout from this disaster, that's going to be an admission of guilt that their water policy was in fact bad and that they in fact caused this problem.
And my last question for you is, what's next?
Well, we're going to continue to work for the declaration of disaster. That is just so critically important that we get that. It means the difference between a little bit of funding and an adequate amount of funding. And once we get that, then we fight for the money, trying to keep these guys in business, and then we fight to make sure that we can get a recovery plan put in place in the Klamath Basin, so we don't have to return to this type of tactic and this type of problem in the future. We need to get the fish numbers back up. We need to do a lot of work up there, some dam removal that needs to be done. There's some restoration work that needs to be done. They need to move water in a more responsible way to minimize leakage and evaporation. There's some properties up there that probably shouldn't be farmed. There's some farmers who want to get out of the farming business, and it makes sense to use some of those properties for other things.
That's a win-win.
Absolutely.
Have you thought about perhaps organizing the fishing communities as a subsidiary of Halliburton? Then there'll be tons of money to be had.
Yeah, that's what we should do. We should just do a congressional declaration that Pacific Coast Salmon are now a subsidiary of the Halliburton Corporation, and the money just start flying in.
Let me know how that works out.
All right.
Mike Thompson, Democratic Representative, St. Helena, California.